Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
We are so blessed to be in the house of God, and I'm praying that what God has given me would resonate in our hearts today. You know, as I went before the Lord, and then I woke up this morning, and it confirmed that we're living in perilous times. We're living times of chaos. And it was a horrible sight to see that there was 12 little basketball players in a court and a bomb drops and kills them all in Israel. In the northern part of Israel, a bomb just comes out of nowhere and just wipes them out. And like, when they're trying to call peace there, it just continues. And I look at our nation, it's divided. And there's nothing that you and I can do other than to pray and to fast and to seek God's face. Because I looked at it like this, and then we're going to get into our word. There's sin on both sides of the camp. Can I get an amen? There's sin on the Republican side, Democrat, even in the where RFK is, that's called the independent. There's sin everywhere. There's no one that is going to come with biblical truths. One of the things that they all embraced, and it's going to be one of the things we're going to discuss today, that's going to be the downfall of any nation. And that's the sin of homosexuality. We saw the opening of Paris, the Olympics, and they mocked Christianity. They had the Last Supper, and half of them were transgenders, mocking God. We live in a time of wickedness. We live in a time of great peril. But I'm praying that this message would resonate. Why? Because the last thing we want to see is our nation being severely judged by God. Now, all the nations that have risen up in times past, if you go back and look at history, one of their demises, one of the reasons why they collapsed, like the Ottoman Empire, the Roman Empire, all these huge nations that rose up in the past, what caused them to be destroyed? They became immorally corrupted from within. And once they got morally corrupted within, then God would raise up enemies to destroy them. And we're going to look at this story in the book of Nahum. And we're going to see that God, help us not be like Nineveh. Nineveh was a country that God spared because of Jonah. And we all know the story, Jonah and the whale. We all know that Jonah didn't want to tell them that God was going to judge you if you don't repent. Because Jonah knew that those people hated the Jews. But yet God called him to go to Nineveh. And when he ran away, we all know the story. He was on a boat, and everything was going wrong on that boat, and they figured it out. We need to throw Jonah off the boat. And they threw him off, and here comes a whale. Right on time. You know, God's always right on time. And that whale swallowed up Jonah, kept him alive for 3 days, and then spit him on dry land in Nineveh. And because He had no other way out. He had to now preach what God told him to preach. When the word was given to Nineveh, the king already knew that judgment was about to fall, and he fell on his face and repented. And from the king all the way down throughout the whole nation, they all repented, and God spared them for 150 years. But the atrocious thing happened after that. They backslid, went back into idolatry. And so then God had to raise up the Assyrians and finally destroyed them. This message is to hopefully give us hope and not gloom. But right now, we're seeing our nation. We're seeing what's taking place in our school system. Would you have ever thought in your wildest dreams that you would send your child to a public school and they have options now to change what God created them to be? And now there's a law coming up in California where they're going to keep it hush from the parents. So a child now can go, I want to be a boy, I want to be a girl. And they will not notify the parents. Help us, God. Help us, God. And so, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've entitled this afternoon's message, "The Judgment of a Fallen Nation is Certain." Did you catch that? The judgment of a fallen nation is certain. Because all you have to do is look at history. Why did these great nations collapse? Because they fell. And they were immorally corrupted from within. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Nahum chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And don't worry, if you didn't bring your Bibles in, I always got the word on the screen. Amen? And so here we go. Verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. Its victim never departs. The noise of a whip and the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of clattering chariots. Verse 3. Horsemen charge with bright sword and glittering spear. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses. Wow. Look at verse 4. Because of the multitude of the harlotries, of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. Behold, I'm against you, says the Lord of hosts. Let me just pause right now. The number one crime in San Diego right now is sex trafficking. My brother is a detective for the DA's office. And this is what he told me. He goes, Brother Fee, he goes, it's rampant. Sex trafficking. Those who are coming across, they're being abducted and being sold. You see, this word was given to Nineveh. And Nahum wrote this down. And we're going to see a little further in this study what happens to a nation that will not repent. You see, saints, the message of Nahum concerns the impending destruction of Nineveh. The Lord's word to the Assyrian is dire. Look at what it says right here in Nahum 2:13. Behold, I'm against you. You never want God against you. Can I get amen? There's no way out. If God's against you, he will destroy you. Oh, that's right. Yes, we live right now in the age of grace. But when he comes back, he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to judge. And so look at this. Behold, I'm against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. This is basically God saying, I'm going to utterly destroy you because of your grievous sins. They have reached the heavens. And we're going to see in just a moment the condition of our country and why the church, Bible says judgment first starts in the house of God. The church is the one that needs to cry out. Why? Because the world don't know how. If we're not crying out for God's mercy, who will? Who can? But the church needs to. And so God was obviously angry with the Ninevites. And Nahum reveals why. Nineveh had long been an enemy of Judah and Israel and the people of God. In 722 BC, the Assyrians defeated the northern kingdom of Israel, destroying its capital in Samaria. In 701 BC, the Assyrians nearly conquered Jerusalem, the capital of Judah. Fierce, fierce people. They were conquerors. And so the text of Nahum provides additional clues regarding God's anger with the Ninevites, because God wanted that country to get right. But it's reminded in Nahum 3:1, woe to the city of what? Blood, full of lies, full of what? Plunder, never without victims. Did you know in Chicago, places in Chicago, Detroit, there's over 500 shootings every weekend? 500 shootings. It's like a war zone in our nation. And we're going to see something that maybe you just haven't heard just yet, but we need to be reminded as a church. Let me just say this. When we fast and we pray and when we seek God, that's when he will hear us. Can I get an amen? And so, Nineveh was a city of violence, known for its brutal treatment of those it conquered. They were atrocious. They were fierce. The Assyrians were notorious for amputating hands and feet, gouging eyes, and skinning and impaling their captives. So you had the Assyrians over here that were somewhat wicked, and then you had the Ninevites. The final verse of Nahum's book emphasizes the violence of the Assyrians in the form of a rhetorical question. And that's this right up here in Nahum 3:19. Who has not felt your endless cruelty? Your endless cruelty. So the Ninevites were so cruel that God had to raise up the Assyrians to destroy them. Let me just say this, and I'm going to say it in the best way I know how. But Russia, China, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, there's already nuked submarines on both of our coasts, especially up there in the Alaskan side. They're waiting. They're waiting for a moment. They're waiting to trounce on us. Why? Because they don't even know who the leader is anymore. They don't even know who the leader is. We had a leader, a president, that just threw in the towel. And now we don't know who's leading the nation. Listen, it's like this. If you had a burglar who wanted to always break into a house down the street, but they had a really tough German Shepherd dog in the yard, and they couldn't get to that backyard because of that dog. Well, guess what? the time to get over that fence is when that dog gets old. It cannot see no more. It cannot run. It can't even bark no more. That's when it's time. Let me just say this. Is it time for them? Is it time that God would raise up nations to come against us? I'm going to show you some things, and you ask yourself, would God allow that atrocious thing, like how he raised the Assyrians to destroy the Ninevites? Would he do that to us? But wait a minute. The church is here. Yeah, I know the church is here. But there's also sin in the church. There's people that have been married and divorced 4 times in the church. There's people still aborting their babies in the church. Nothing's changed. I know this is a tough message, but listen. When God gives me a message that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, we need to wake up and smell the coffee. Because something is coming, and it's going to come suddenly. And if you're not close to Jesus, because we have no bunkers. Can I get amen? Let me ask this question. Where's your bunker to run into? Last year, for 6 months, all of Russia had drills for their country, and they all had bunkers. And they were going through drills as if they were being nuked on. Where's ours? I'm here to let you know the only bunker we have is Jesus. Can I get amen? This is why we need to get close. This ain't a time to play. This is not a time to play church. This is time to be the church. And so the Assyrians defeated the northern kingdom of Israel, destroying its capital in Samaria. And in 701 BC, the Assyrians nearly conquered Jerusalem, the capital of Judah. The text of Nahum provides additional clues regarding God's anger with the Ninevites. And so we looked at this right here. Woe, we're going to read this again. Look at this. Do you think you're superior to the Egyptian Thebes, proudly invincible on the river Nile, protected by the great river, walled by the city and river? Let me just say this. What God is saying, because you have all this, you think you are safe from your enemies? Lord, help us. You see, the pride of Nineveh may have been due in part to its wealth and power. And let me just say this. I love this nation. My parents love this nation. I know that you love this nation. And we live in a free nation. And there's no greater nation than the nation we live in. But it's slipping away from us. Would you ever thought you would see the abominations on your television screen? You can't even watch commercials no more. 2 men in a tub. After 9 o'clock, they're lip locking. Commercials. What is that saying to us? Why isn't the church crying aloud? Why are the pulpits silent? Because most churches are about programs. They're not equipping the saints to know what time it is. It's time to wake up. It's time to see what's taking place right before us in real time. This is all in real time. And so each of their gates was guarded by stone bull statues, both inside and outside the walls. Sennacherib created parks, a botanical garden, and a zoo. He built a water system containing the oldest aqueduct in history at Jerwan across the Gormel River. But Jesus taught this. This is what I love about Jesus. He taught this. Look at this. For all who what? who take the sword will perish by the sword. That's what that nation did. It would conquer with the sword and destroy innocent people, kill babies and youth. Eventually, God raised up an enemy to destroy the Ninevites. This truth is vividly predicted and fulfilled in the case of Nineveh, whose warlike people were known for their brutal treatment of their own enemies. Despite the military might of Nineveh, they were no match for the God of heaven. Can I get an amen? Because when Armageddon takes place, when all the nations comes against Israel, none of them will stand and defeat God, who will protect her. And so Nineveh's downfall was greeted as good news by Judah. Look at Nahum 1:15 right up here. Look at this. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feasts, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. And so, saints, all who had suffered under the merciless rule, God delivered. Because the Ninevites hated the Jews. Syria hated the Jews. They all hated the Jews. Why did they all hate the Jews? Why? Because the Jews were the only ones who knew the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so all of the other ites, Ninevites, and what have you.
By the way, if you have another request, you don't need to say Siri before you ask it.
That was Siri. Goodbye, Siri.
Okay.
That's the first interruption I ever got like that. And so, all who had suffered under their merciless rule, God delivered. Look, let's look at this right here in Nahum 3:15-19. Look at this. There the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will eat you up like a locust. Make yourself many like the locust. Make yourself many like the swarming locust. You have multiplied your merchants more than the stars of heaven. The locust plunders and flies away. They had a whole bunch of wealth, and God was destroying it. Look at verse 17. Your commanders are like swarming locusts, and your generals like great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges on a cold day. When the sun rises, they flee away, and the place where they are is not known. Your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles rest in the dust. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and no one gathers them. Wow. Look at verse 19 right up here. Your injury has no healing. Your wound is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? You see, ultimately, God will defend those who will cry out to him. This is why our nation needs to turn to God and cry out. Can I get amen? None of us in here wants to experience the judgment of God. None of us do. But it's slipping away from us. It's like a canker worm. It's eating away. And so, saints, this calamity didn't contrive overnight. It was decades and decades of God's grace and long suffering before eventually Nineveh was conquered and utterly destroyed. Did you know that God is graceful? Do you know that God is gracious to us? Do you know there are things that we don't even deserve and yet God gives us? Because he's merciful. And in the mind and the heart of God, he said it best, that none should perish but come to repentance. And that's the key, is that a heart would repent before a holy God. Can I get an amen? Look at Jonah. We're going to go to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So God raised up someone to go, but we all know the story. Jonah didn't want to go because he wanted to see Nineveh destroyed, because on how many times they attempted to conquer Jerusalem. Look at Jonah 3, 1 through 4. Look at this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, before he preached that word, he was thrown off. We didn't have time to go in it, but he was thrown off a boat, and a whale came and swallowed him up and spit him on the beach. Just imagine what he smelled like. I don't know if the stench caused him to repent. I don't know. All I know, if you're in the belly of a well for 3 days, you're not coming out like Mr. Clean. Can I get an amen? So, oh man, I won't even go there. But he came and preached a message. Now look at this. What Nineveh did 150 years prior to their destruction, as we read in Nahum, God did what his nature allows him to be. And what is God's nature? It's always mercy. It's always grace. God shows us that first, until ultimately then he has to bring judgment. Aren't you so blessed that when he saved you, he brought grace and mercy first? Or did he stamp you out like a bug? "I'm done with you." No, that's not the God we serve. But look what was written in Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5. Look at this. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. This was a king that was crying over his sin, because he had led that nation into sin. And now you see clearly that he is repenting for his atrocious leadership. Look at verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands." So God is giving them instruction. This is what you have to do now, and I will spare you. Look at verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not what? Perish. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. How many are so blessed to know Come on, you've got to shout. He spared them. They deserve to be destroyed. You got to ask a question about this nation we live in. Is he about ready to bring judgment here? Is he? Saints, we need to look at America in 2024 because could we, look at this up here. Could America be the modern city of Nineveh? It had every foul thing in that nation. You name it, they had it. They were burning babies. They were aborting babies. They were killing people. There was homosexuality there. There was so many vile things taking place that God spared them because they repented. But Jonah in 1 and 2, look at this. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We as a church need to get to a place where we cry out against the wickedness that's taking place in our country. Our dear friends from Arkansas had a good chat with them. They look at California as a pretty liberal, wicked state. And I said, here's God's grace. Throughout California, there's pockets of the remnant church. Can I get an amen? The Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So whenever there's great wickedness, there's God's people there too. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. There's wonderful people. True believers of the Lord Jesus who have walked away from their sin. Who's walking in holiness. For the Bible says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And so the church needs to cry out. Cry out. What are we crying out against? Is it vain imagination? Is it something that appears to be wrong? Or is it fact? We need to look at facts. We need to look at truth. We need to see things for what they are today. So let's look at a few. Number one, since Roe v. Wade in 1973, America has slaughtered and butchered and murdered 70 million human babies through abortion. If you were to save all the blood shed, it would fill a lake. Their blood is crying out from the ground. Crying out. And no one's talking about it. No one talks about this stuff in church. Why? Oh, this is political. Well, Jesus was political too. Because he confronted the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. It's clear in Exodus. You shall not murder. Yet this country has murdered 70 million plus, and the count keeps going on day by day. Look at this. Without anybody's vote, this was an executive order. You know what an executive order is? That means the highest person in the land, which is a president, can just sign an executive order and decree it without your vote, without your saying. Look what happened in 2015. On June 26, 2015, Obama spearheaded the movement of the homosexual agenda and the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 in favor of all 50 states in our nation to allow same-sex marriage. This ruling overruled the people's right to vote on this matter. So in other words, you didn't have a say. None of us had a say. And now they're on almost every commercial. The Olympics opened up with homosexuals and transgenders. I don't care if they turn me off on YouTube. That's okay. But I'm going to speak truth from here. Why? Because I am accountable to God. I will stand doubly accountable to God if I don't tell you the truth. I know this is a hard message, but God said, preach it. We have to preach these things. They're tough. But they have to be taught. People need to repent. People need to turn. Let me ask you this. Did the Word of God change? The Bible says, Jesus is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get amen? So if we look at that abomination right there, what does Leviticus say? If a man lies with a male and he lies with the... Look at this. If a man lies with a male as he lies with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall utterly be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. But some of you are saying, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. All right, we'll turn to the New Testament. Let's go to Romans 1:26. Look at this. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful. Say that with me. Shameful. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. You don't think God's going to judge this? Don't you think that if we continue as a nation down this path, that he's not going to raise up enemies like he did against Nineveh? Because Nineveh was like this. Look at this. Lawlessness and civil unrest. I don't care what party you belong to. Whoever wins or loses, there's always going to be chaos in the street. There's going to be riots. There's going to be looting. There's going to be killing. And throughout our land, there is now terrorist attacks, cities being blazed with fire, killing of peace officers, racial tension and political corruption. There's corruption on both sides. Both sides. And I'll tell you why. Because both sides, the biggest parties in the land, Republican, Democrat, they've all embraced what I'm preaching here. They've all embraced homosexuality. They're all in sin too. This is why the church needs to cry out loud. The pulpits have to preach now. They have to preach. Can I get amen? And throughout our land, there is now terrorist attacks and all these things. Look what 1 Timothy wrote here. Paul wrote to Timothy, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Look at verse 10 up here. For fornicators. You know what fornication is? We see this word throughout the New Testament. People having sex without marriage. And adulterers are people that are married having sex with other people. Look at this. For fornicators, for sodomites. You know God still calls homosexuals sodomites. Because he didn't create us like that. He created a male and a female. Can I get an amen? For kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which all was committed to my trust. If it was corrupt during Paul's day, they didn't have the technology we have today. Don't you think that it's even more corrupt today? Now you can just put corruptness on your phone and think nobody's watching. But let me just say this. God is watching. You're never alone. God is watching. Help us, Jesus. All of this paints a scenario that is being played out before us as the United States, majority of them, have rejected God now. God's no longer in the public school. He's not in the courts. He's not in the public square. You can bring every false idol type of religion to a public school, but you can't bring the Bible in. Why is that? Because the Word of God is the only living Word, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. The Bible is the only living Word that can change a dark heart, a corrupt heart, that can transform an unholy mind to do what's right. They don't want that in there. That's the only thing that can change their hearts is the Word of God, the power of God. So He has allowed our enemies to rise up in fierce anger. Think of hatred towards us in the Islamic world. You know, the Islam hates us. I hope you know that. Let me just share this. In the last 2 weeks, there's been 40,000 Chinese cross the southern border and over 50,000 Islamic men, no women, all young men, fighting men that are here now. And a lot of us are asleep at the wheel. It's time to wake up. It's time to really get before God and pray and seek His face, and that we would turn from our wicked way. Look what Paul wrote to Romans in Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but because their futile and their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is a portrait of an unregenerated person that does not know God. And so, time and time again, great men of God has been raised up to warn this nation. Oh yes, look at this. Perry Stone, David Wilkerson, John Kilpatrick, Dimitri Dudeman, Jonathan Kahn, and Brandon Biggs is the latest one. They're all saying that if America does not repent, we will become a third world country. Our liberties will be taken away from us. Our freedoms will be taken away from us. Just imagine if our enemies conquered us and we would have to go into slave camps. Wow. Can you imagine that for a moment? That's the last thing we will ever want to think. You see, we have the mindset, we're the greatest nation in the world. Well, so was Nineveh, so was the Syrians, so was all these other nations. They had fortified walls. And then God said, I'm coming in, and I'm going to tear you down. We need to cry out to the living God. Our wisdom as a nation, which could only come from the Lord, has departed from us. This causes our leaders to make unwise decisions, such as the Iranian nuclear deal. They are the ones that have received $50 billion from us and have now given them to other countries to come against our allies. It's like everything's upside down. And without God's wisdom, the word from the Lord, we perish as a people. It's important to remember the sequence here. Saints, here are the final steps of a nation that's about to collapse. It's found right up in here. Look at this in Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been of the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, when they would have swallowed us alive, when their wrath was kindled against us. Look at this. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's who we need today. Can I get an amen? We need the Lord. We need to be in His camp. If God has truly saved you, what are you doing dancing in the devil's camp? Why are you playing footsie with the enemy? You know what we have to really be careful? On what we let our eyes and ears to hear. Because Hollywood's good. They're good at duping you. We have to be real careful. And so, here are the steps, and we're going to close. The steps of a nation that will come under the judgment of God is number one, a nation that forgets God. They've thrown God out. And once you throw God out, you have no more hope. You're left to your own demise. I've been teaching out of the book of Romans, and Paul's clear. In this flesh dwells no good thing. You can't trust your flesh. Your flesh wants to go against the spirit that lives within us. So there's a constant battle, a constant war. But a nation that forgets God, look out for pending judgment. Because after that, once the nation forgets God, this is what happens. An enemy is raised up. So, when Nineveh cried out, they repented. And for 150 years, they were right before God. After that 150 years of walking with God, they all backslid. And they went back to their idolatry. They went back to their sin. And guess what happened? God raised up the Assyrians. And this time, destroyed them all. Obliterated them. After God had mercy the first time. Totally destroyed them. So a nation forgets God. An enemy is raised up. And then a trap is set. You know what that trap is? We've been hoodwinked. What does that mean? We've been deceived. We think there's no problem. We think everything's hunky-dory. We think everything's going to be all right. Oh, yeah, you know what? Praise the Lord. God bless you. And yet in real time, we see this wickedness in our nation. And we think it's just going to go away by osmosis. That's not going to go away by itself. Matter of fact, it's getting darker. Look at number four. The nation who has forgotten God flies blindedly into the trap and is ensnared, and there is no escape. If God allows the enemies to rise up against us, there won't be no escape. Here are the enemies. I want you guys to be clear. Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Turkey, and all the Arab countries, Venezuela, and Cuba, and North Korea. They all have a pact. They've come together, and they're waiting. They're waiting like this bird, waiting to dive in and take this nation by surprise. So the only remedy? The church needs to rise up in faith and cry aloud. Can I get an amen? Number five is the fowler, the enemy, comes at some point in the future, not necessarily on the day the trap is laid, and seizes their prey and completely devours that nation. Read the history of the Ottoman Empire, the Roman Empire. God raised up the Medes, totally annihilated Rome. They thought they were invincible. Look at number six. I got one more point. The nation is swept away by the flood of God's judgment. It is swallowed alive and whole. And number seven, its destruction is certain. It's certain. I'm going to just take a moment. And all of us, I really believe all of us, just pray in the way you know how. But I'm going to lead us in prayer right now for this nation. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we cry out aloud, O God. I know this was not a seeker-friendly message, but it was a message that needed to be preached because you told me to bring it. I pray for this nation. I pray for our leaders. I pray for people in high places. I pray, Lord, that you would pull down strongholds, that you would pull down wickedness, that holiness would come back, that righteousness would come back, that this nation would turn their hearts back to you like Nineveh did when Jonah came. Oh God, help us. Help us understand, God, that we're living in such a time as this, and we're seeing it in real time, the things that are taking place, the floods, the tornadoes, the fires, all ravaging this land, licentiousness and bloodshed across this land. Oh God, help us turn back to you. Help us cry out to you, God. My former pastor, I remember he said, we cry out sometimes, oh God, bless America. No, America needs to bless God. We need to bless the Lord. We need to cry out for mercy. And it starts here in the house of God. And it starts in our heart. Help us, Jesus. Help us be overcomers. Help us stand for righteousness. Help us stand strong in the power of your might. Help us, oh God, to live a life of holiness. Help us understand these things, God. And help us to have mercy. And when people that don't know you, help us love them and point them to the cross. Let them know that there is salvation and deliverance and help. Let the people know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. I pray, Father, that you would do a mighty work in our hearts, our minds. And Lord, that when it's all said and done, that we would give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. For we know it all belongs to you. And so I'm I'm praying right now, those right now that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.